Simply the Gospel is a Bible study resource ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. Hello, this is Jim Pursley, thanking you for taking the time to listen to our audio devotional sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew. This audio devotional sermon is supplemental to our downloadable Matthew study found on our website at www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship.com. Please visit our website for this and other helpful resources. You are listening to Lesson 15 from Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 19. Was Jesus an underachiever? The question has a ring of disrespectfulness to it. It's as arrogant as it sounds if it's implying that Jesus was an underachiever. Only in the eyes of sinful men did Jesus fail. Because we have the scriptural record that tells us that the Father's assessment of the Son was that this is His Son. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And He adds in Matthew chapter 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration, listen to Him. Jesus was never disappointing, ever, to the Father. And if God's people look at Him through the lens of Scripture and through faith, never will we find Him to be disappointing to us. Did you know that the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, for instance, that the Son, Jesus, is the exact imprint of God's being, the exact representation of His being? And that is meaning that Jesus, the Son of God, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived 33 years without sin, He lived in a human body, God in the flesh, the God-man, the exact representation of God's being. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Yet when He walked on this earth, when He ministered, we're told in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 and 3, that He was unattractive, essentially, that He was non-majestic. There was nothing in Him that would cause us to desire Him. In other words, He wasn't charismatic. And don't we love to follow charismatic people? Most of us do. And that tells me something, at least about myself. I wouldn't have followed Him. The Bible tells us and teaches us in many different ways and in many different verses that unless God opens the eyes of sinners to the fact that Jesus is God's Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior King, unless God opens the eyes of sinners, sinners never will recognize Him as Messiah. So though people judged Him as a failure, in truth, He is the glorious Son of God, perfectly pleasing to the Father in every way. He has supremacy in all things, as we've covered before in our Matthew study. But do you realize that even God's people can sometimes question God's ability to be successful in all He does? Case in point is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 19. We find John in one of Herod's prisons. That's surprising. At least it may have been for John. I have to believe it was. John was the one predicted in scriptures to come before Christ came, the prophet who had preceded the Christ. John was well aware of who he was. He was well aware of who Jesus was. In John chapter 1, verse 29, as Jesus is walking by, John turns to Him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 3, verse 30, John makes that most beautiful statement. He says, "He must become greater. I must become less." But I wonder if John had in mind that his becoming less would mean going into retirement, slipping off the stage and letting Jesus take center stage? Possibly, because now we find John in prison. He has been arrested because he spoke plainly to King Herod, calling him to repentance. John is hearing reports about Jesus, probably asking about him all the time, and yet he finds that Jesus' popularity is not growing. In fact, in Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, we see that when... Well, I'll just read it to you. At the time Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, at that time he heard about Jesus. This is after John had been beheaded. So this is after what we see in Matthew chapter 11. John's still alive. In chapter 14, John has been beheaded. And just now does Herod hear any reports about Jesus. So his popularity is not rising. John's in prison. He sends his disciples to ask Jesus. We see it in verse 3. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus loved John. And he loved him enough to tell him the truth. And so I think here we see Jesus loving John by refocusing John on the truth about who Jesus is. And here's what Jesus does. He does it by taking John's disciples and in essence walking John back through the scriptures as the proof of who Jesus is. Jesus didn't come on the scene and do something new. He did what had been promised in Scripture. He fulfilled the Scripture. Verse 4, Jesus replied to these disciples, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Go back and tell him that you have seen Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, and Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2 come to pass right before your eyes." Jesus refocused John by pointing him to the fact that what God had promised through the prophets preceding him had now come to pass. This was the most loving thing Jesus could do for John. And it's the most loving thing that Jesus does for us through the Spirit. The Spirit always draws you and I back to the Word of God. So I want to ask you, how has the Bible been used by God to both refocus you and to reaffirm God's love for you so that you remain faithful through trials and tribulations? Because if you've never been discouraged or disappointed with God, you won't relate to what I'm talking about. But if you have, you can testify as I can that it was through the Spirit working through the Word that you were quickened and made alive again to the truth of who Jesus is and drawn to Him. But look at verse 6. There's a word of warning to John. And a word of warning, I think, to us, but it's a word of blessing too. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Blessed is the man who does not stumble because of me, Jesus says. People stumble over Christ all the time. He's the rock that makes them fall. And Jesus is telling John right here, right now, you're blessed, my cousin, my brother, you're blessed if you do not fall away. And rest assured, John was strengthened in his faith in Christ through the Word of God and did not fall away. Well, Jesus was in the midst of a crowd, and when the disciples walked away, as we see in verse 7, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. Wow, this is so important for us to understand, because here John's disciples are walking away. Jesus begins to speak to the crowd about John. Now, some have thought that Jesus was just reinforcing, the disciples were hearing Jesus. They were just out of earshot, or maybe just hearing him go on, and this was to flatter John. I don't think so. I think Jesus was capitalizing on the fact that it's easy for people to become unfocused, and they've just heard some doubts being raised by John's disciples, and now Jesus takes the time to refocus the crowd, and even more so, more than just simply refocusing them, he calls them to repentance. He calls them to believe that he is the Christ, and here's how he does it. He asks them about John. What do you know about John? When you went out to see him, when you went to the desert to see him, did you see some fluffy man dressed in prince's clothing or like kings would wear in palaces? Did you go out and see a man who was double-minded, swayed by the wind? He says, no. What did you go out to see? You went out to see a prophet. He says, yes, and I tell you, more than a prophet. Here's where he begins calling these people to repent. Because though they would find the Christ Jesus to be an underachiever, and though they may find him to be disappointing, one thing they couldn't argue with. They could not argue with the word of truth. Jesus says, when you went out to see him, you went to see a prophet, one who spoke forth the word of truth. And what did John speak forth? John spoke the word, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was the one sent to prepare people for Messiah. He's saying, God's Savior King is here. Repent. And so Jesus describes to these people who John is. This is the one about whom it is written from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And then Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist he's the preeminent prophet up until Christ came as both as prophet, priest, and king. He's the one with honor, the one who preceded Christ. And he tells these people this, John is that prophet. And he says in verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. In other words, John's the last one. You know what he's saying? He is saying to the crowd, John has come. I am the Christ. Yet these people would demonstrate over and over and over their unbelief. But Jesus squarely sets the responsibility of accountability on their shoulders to believe the word of God. John is that prophet. I am that Christ. So he refocuses the crowd so that there can be no mistake that though John questioned who Jesus is, Jesus is proclaiming, I am He. Now, at verse 15, he says, he who has ears, let him hear. Unless God opens the eyes, the blind eyes of sinners, sinners will never recognize Jesus as Messiah. But there were people, I believe, there were people there that day who had ears to hear. Their ears were opened. And they heard loud and clear Jesus proclaiming, I am the one expected. I am the righteous one you have been waiting for. Then I believe Jesus turns his attention in verse 16 to his disciples to refocus them. To refocus them that they would know not to gauge their commitment on the opinions of people. He points out the fickleness of people in verses 16 and 17, comparing this generation to children in the marketplace, shouting, bantering back and forth one with another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. I think it could be interpreted this way. We played the flute for you. You didn't dance. We made merry that John the Baptist was here, that a prophet had come. And yet, that prophet didn't dance for us. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. We expected Christ to come, but we were looking for one who would judge Rome, judge the nations of Gentiles. He didn't do what we expected. In other words, he's saying God's plan will never be received as what is expected. People will always have different expectations than what God has communicated. The opinion polls never will square with God's revelation of Himself. People will always find Jesus to be inappropriate and not pleasing. So if these disciples, as they would minister in a world that had rejected Jesus as the Christ for this reason and that reason, he's telling his disciples, listen to me, you cannot base your work and your ministry on the public opinion, the polls of the opinion of the people. You must proclaim the word of truth. I believe this message needs to be heard by Christians today. We can't conform to the world in hopes of growing our churches. If we conform to the world and hope that the world will accept our message, we are deceived. Because it's just as the people were for Jesus. They were always disappointed with him. We must preach the truth without being ashamed or embarrassed. We have to conform to Christ and his revelation of himself in the Word of God. For faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. There is no other way for sinners to see that Jesus is the Christ except that the word is preached and the Spirit of God open blind eyes. Wisdom is proved right by her actions. And that's not something you see occur overnight. It is through persevering through the truth. Was Jesus an underachiever? To those who did not believe, he certainly was. But for those who do believe, he is the revelation of God in the flesh, our Savior King. Bless his holy name. Thank you for listening to Simply the Gospel. Until next time, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you.